Tell me a little bit about why you're against charters. I mean, supporters say that no children should have to go to a failing school, and we want to sort of do almost a free market capitalism approach to education. We want the kids to have choice, and choice leads to competition, and that always improves. Why do you think?
First of all, because none of those things turn out to be true in terms of competition has not improved schools. Any place where it's been tried, it certainly didn't improve them. In Milwaukee, Milwaukee's had vouchers now for over 20 years, largely on the urging of black leaders who had gotten fed up with the public schools. Black kids in Milwaukee score about the same as black kids in the Deep South.
I'm always a little skeptical of that kind of argument. Is it possible that if charter schools had not been tried, could it have been even worse?
Maybe it could be worse. Maybe nobody would be able to read at all. But if you're going to say competition is going to lift all boats, no boats were lifted there. But they make a lot of money for the sponsors.
In Alabama right now, as you probably know, there's a big push. All the stars seem to be aligning for charter schools. We've got a majority in the state legislature who really favor it, and the governor is behind it, and Michelle Rhee and her group are here now.
She's hardly a model. I mean, Washington, D.C. continues to be one of the lowest performing districts in the country. Why would Alabama follow Washington, D.C.? There was no miracle on her watch.
I'm sure people who favor charter schools and vouchers really, for the most part, really do believe that it will help kids. I mean, but you hinted at some other possible motivations before.
Well,
do you think
there are a lot of people of good intentions who think that we're not seeing any improvement with what we're doing. Let's try anything. But if you look at the evidence, there'll be a few that'll do very well. They will succeed by keeping out low-performing students or kicking them out. There'll be even more that do badly. And most of on the whole, they don't do any better. So why would you pump tons of money into doing something that's not going to make a difference? Some of your lowest performing students are in rural areas where you have trouble just getting teachers. So are you going to replace the public school with a privately managed school? How does deregulation and privatization improve education? You'll get a few high performing charters. Some of them will be good schools. Some of them will just be test prep schools where the kids are doing a lot of drill. But if you say, is this going to improve education in the state? No, it's not. I don't think you destroy the public sector in the hope that people will come in to fix things, because you have to look at evidence. You don't just say, build it and they will come. And you look at other big cities, and there are only two cities that have a good charter record. And on the whole, I would say it's New York City and Boston, but they have an incredible ability to attract people from Ivy League colleges. You don't have Harvard and MIT and Wellesley and Brown to call upon.
Unless it's Teach for America, I guess.
Even Teach for America is not going to produce enough teachers. They send out 5,000 teachers a year all over the country. But I just think that it's really important before you give up on the public sector to say, what are you putting in their place? You know, unless the law is written specifically to ban for-profit charters, to ban virtual charters, you're going to get some pretty awful charters. And the charters will be going to people who give a lot of money to political campaigns, if Ohio and Pennsylvania is any a model.
Speaking of replacing one thing with another, one goal of Michelle Rhee's group and lots of leaders around here is to revamp how teachers are evaluated. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Teachers, of course, should be evaluated, but they should be evaluated by experienced professionals, not by test scores. What the scores will reflect is who they teach, not the quality of their teaching.
You were directly involved in devising a lot of this nation's first test.
No Child Left Behind. I mean, I supported it, but it had a lot of bipartisan support, probably more Democrats than Republicans.
I guess you are not exactly a supporter of the degree of testing that's going on today.
I think it's gotten out of control. This is a regime that's very unfriendly to children. I mean, every child is different, and we want to standardize them according to state tests that have nothing to do with making things better for them or even improving instruction. It's just about ranking everybody. I mean, we're not seeing a reduction in remediation rates in college. The remediation rates in many places are going up.
That's definitely true here. Why do you think that most people think the way we're doing things now, it's just not working? I mean, it's easy to blame the school systems nationally and locally for just about every problem, but it seems like that's become much more prevalent and much more, you might even say, fevered. Why do you think that is?
I think that our society has a lot of problems that the people in the top don't want to confront, particularly problems of poverty and inequality. And it's a lot easier to blame schools and blame teachers and blame principals and close schools and open new schools.
How do you feel about the education regime under Obama and Arne Duncan?
It's worse than it's just a continuation of No Child Left Behind. They have bought all the assumptions of No Child Left Behind, that somehow testing is the answer to everything. The status quo is No Child Left Behind. And if you look at the evidence, you have to conclude that the status quo is not working, and the status quo is testing and privatization and also deprofessionalization, taking away any kind of job protections from teachers and principals and closing schools and privatizing at the same time, lowering standards for entry into teaching. So what we should be doing is addressing the needs that kids have. If they don't speak English, they need to learn to speak English. Closing their school doesn't help them.
Do you think these needs can be addressed, especially at a time when school budgets across the country are being cut to the bone?
Well, they're being cut to the bone because we don't care about education. The free market approach and the business model doesn't work in education. Schools don't compete with one another. They if they're working well, they're a community. They focus on the kids they have enrolled in them, and teachers are respected. There's a full curriculum for the children where they have the arts and history and civics and physical education every day.
Dr. Ravitch, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, well, thank you for calling.